Speaker!
Order, order. So would some honourable member care to move that the House takes notice of miscellaneous business?
The Speaker, David Carter, looking for someone to start the year's first general debate, taking the first call from the Leader of the Opposition.
Andrew Little.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. Well, there's only one question that New Zealanders are asking after the first few weeks of this political year, and that is, when will the half-truths, the double-speak, the dissembling, the obfuscation, when will it come to an end?
There's no answer to that, the long version of Mr Little's infamous command to cut the crap. But if there's no knowing when that will end, there was an end to Mr Little's speech after 5 minutes.
They won't tell us everything. They won't tell us what the facts are. They'll stand up here in the comfort of their leather armchair and accuse others of not having courage, but they don't have the courage to front up to New Zealanders.
Courage, or the lack of it, had become an issue earlier when one of Mr Little's questions for the Prime Minister elicited this response from Mr Key.
Right, Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker, yesterday the government laid out clearly its contribution in the military capability in Iraq. That is the extent of what I see us doing, and it's a shame that the opposition didn't have the courage to support it.
Order.
The Leader of the Opposition complained to the Speaker.
Prime Minister, in the heat of his presentation yesterday, got away with alleging or implying that members of the opposition didn't have guts or didn't have courage. But to say it explicitly is against standing orders, and I invite you, Mr Speaker, to call him to account.
Order. Order.
Mr Little was presumably referring to Standing Order 120, banning personal reflections on the character of other MPs. But Mr Carter didn't think there'd been a breach.
The comments made yesterday were certainly robust. I don't think they were out of order. I don't think on this occasion the answer is out of order, but I don't actually think it's addressed the question that the member asked.
The Speaker allowed Mr Little to repeat his question, while yesterday's comments were raised in this question for the Prime Minister from Greens co-leader Matiria Touré.
My question, sir, is to the Prime Minister and asks, does he stand by his statement, quote, get some guts and join the right side, end quote?
Right, Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, absolutely I do.
Supplementary question, Matiria Touré.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. Will the Prime Minister take his own advice to get some guts and stop negotiating a trade deal with Saudi Arabia, a regime that executes children?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, no.
Asked to reconcile joining the war against Islamic State while doing a trade deal with Saudi Arabia, Mr Key had this response.
The New Zealand government, and through successive foreign ministers and through the ministry for a long time, has advocated strongly for human rights and stood up and made clear our concern when we see those. That does not stop us negotiating free trade agreements with countries for whom we have some concerns about their human rights. We've done that over successive governments.
Now to the committee rooms for this report from Rhys Lyon.
An historic moment in the Social Services Committee as two heads of state, the Prime Minister of the Cook Islands and Premier of Niue, sat side by side to make a submission on the social assistance portability to Cook Islands, Niue and Tokelau Bill. The bill would allow citizens of the Cook Islands, Niue and Tokelau to qualify for New Zealand superannuation if they've been resident and present in New Zealand for more than 10 years since the age of 20, including 5 years since the age of 50. That last requirement was a point of concern for Cook Islands Prime Minister Henry Puna.
Many Cook Islands residents are being forced to move to New Zealand to meet the 5-year requirement at an age when they are being most productive at home, and most certainly less productive when they come to New Zealand. Cook Islands residents over the age of 50 are business owners, they're senior civil servants and managers, community and cultural leaders. Sadly, these people are being uprooted from their responsibilities and their productivity by being forced to come back for 5 years. Jobs are left, homes are left, family are left behind.
And Prime Minister Puna outlined another problem with the 5 years after 50 requirement in the bill.
We have a lot of difficulty attracting the younger ones home because they know they'll have to go back to New Zealand at some stage after turning 50.
The Cook Islands government, along with that of Niue, called for a change to the 5-year rule.
We are yet to hear what the rationale is. But that's really the thrust of our submission, is to ask the New Zealand government to look at relaxing that 5-year president and resident requirement.
Cook Islands Prime Minister Henry Puna making a submission on the social assistance portability to Cook Islands Niue and Tokelau Bill to the Social Services Committee.
That's report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program was made with funding from Parliament.